interviews, and insights with the biggest names in Canadian baseball. This is the CBN Podcast.
There was another not pretty one for Canada at the World Baseball Classic, but unfortunately they couldn't overcome the 9-run onslaught in the first inning, Jackson.
Yeah, it was a little disappointing, obviously, if you're a Canada fan. For us, you know, obviously we've talked to Mitch Bratt, you know, and we've also talked to Ernie Witt. So oddly enough, that was an interesting game, I think, from our perspectives. I'm sure from our listeners' perspectives too. Look, just kind of getting right into it, I suppose. Canada loses 12-1 in seven innings to the United States. They got mercy ruled. I don't think this is all that surprising, as we've kind of been, you know, getting at throughout our coverage. As Ernie Witt said on the show, this game against the U.S. was one they didn't actually really need to win. They just needed to take care of business elsewhere. And I think that was made abundantly clear last night, that you're not competing with a team that has, you know, a top three of Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, and Paul Goldschmidt. As it pertains to Mitch Bratt, Matt, you know what? It takes a lot of guts to go out there and pitch against a lineup like that.
Yeah, and I don't. It was a packed house at Chase Field, and obviously his command was a little off. He had walks again, bit Canada in the first inning. But yeah, 19-year-old kid, hasn't pitched above A ball. It's an experience he's going to take with him as he progresses through, hopefully to a big league career. And I don't think this is going to be the last time he faces some of these hitters, but obviously disappointing for him. But looking back on this, I think he'll look back on it as an experience that really helped his development as a pitcher.
Yeah, and I hope we can maybe in the future one day ask him about it and kind of his perspective on it, because I think that there's definitely a way to use this experience. His official line was 0.1 innings pitched. He got it out on the sac fly. It was three hits, six earned runs, and three walks, right? Obviously, you could use it as motivation, right? This was an impossible task, right? You would realistically, you know, the best pitchers in the world would have major issues navigating this lineup. And I hope that's the first thing that was said to him, not just when Ernie Witt took him out, but also in the dugout and also after the game and also for the rest of the week.
Yeah, and I think, well, that's exactly it. There were people calling maybe for a big leaguer to start this game or Cal Quantrill to start this game. The problem is Quantrill could have gone out there and not had a very good outing against this lineup. Like, this is, you have to look top to bottom at this lineup and the all-star caliber that it is. It was, like I said, it was an experience for Brad. You could see when Ernie went out for the mound visit, he was all smiles, kind of trying to loosen him up and trying to get him to enjoy the moment. So, you know, at the end of the day, Canada's 1-1. They have Colombia and Mexico coming up. If they can win those two games, they're moving on, just like Witt told us on the podcast when we spoke to him. And that was always the goal, Jackson, like you said.
Like, Nolan Ryan would have a hard time getting this lineup, getting out in this, going through this lineup, right?
Someone said that to me on Twitter last night as I was going, you know, perusing the depths of social media, which isn't always the kindest place. But yeah, it's true. I mean, look at it's a ridiculous lineup, and you kind of look back on it, not in the moment, and you realize exactly what Canada was up against.
And whether it's Nolan Ryan or Mitch Bratt, right, this U.S. lineup, we got to give them their flowers. I mean, they were tremendous. When you can up and down the lineup, it's just tremendous. You look at it, all-stars everywhere, Hall of Famers everywhere. You could argue the first three hitters Bratt faced, Betts, Trout, Goldschmidt, are all going to the Hall of Fame, certainly the first two. I think this is something to me, like, this should be a source of pride for Mitch Bratt. Obviously, the stats were ugly, sure, but, like, I did the CPBL All-Star Showcase, I think, in 2020. And I remember Mitch Bratt was there, okay? That was in Dorchester, Ontario. Okay, beautiful Dorchester. 3 years later, maybe less than that, he's pitching against Mike Trout on international television. That's crazy, however you slice it, Matt.
Yeah, and that's the perspective that you need to have. I remember, I'd say a similar story. I remember I was coaching with the Terriers at the time. We were facing the Toronto Mets in an exhibition game. And he pitched against us, and he carved like you would expect he would. It's just weird that he goes from, you know, Oakville, Ontario, King's Christian Collegiate, like you said, to Chase Field in front of tens of thousands of people. So kudos to him. Like we said yesterday, I mean, you lose by 20, you lose by one, it's still a loss. They're 1-1 regardless. You kind of just throw this one in the garbage and move on to Colombia today.
I thought Lance Lynn pitched well. I think that was sort of a storyline that didn't get a ton of talk just because of everyone was focused on Mitch Pratt and the way the U.S. lineup was hitting and just the way that both Mitch Pratt and RJ Froyer had issues, obviously, going up against that lineup. I thought, Adam Loehn was a nice story, obviously, getting into the game after all he's been through. They highlighted it on the broadcast, did a beautiful job. I must say, I thought the broadcast was very good, not just at covering the Loehn thing, but also Mitch Pratt and sort of what he was going through. I thought Buck was tremendous in like narrating that whole thing and just taking the audience through it moment by moment and giving that perspective that we're trying to give as well that can sometimes be lost.
Being a fan is tough when your team's, you know, getting blown out, but that perspective is incredibly important, like you said.
The Baseball Zone semi-private clinics are coming back for a new spring session. Small classes, more one-on-one instruction from top coaches, and access to the best baseball technology. From the end of April to early June, you can develop your hitting or pitching skills as you enter the summer season. Sign up today at thebaseballzone.ca before they're gone. So yeah, Lance Lynn was good. The entire United States was really good. They came to play. I think it was very clear that the loss against Mexico woke them up. I think they really had been, both games, had even the game against Great Britain that they won, they hadn't dominated. They won, 6-2? So I think this game was one where they said, okay, look, you know, a lot of people have kind of been doubting us now a little bit after two games. Let's really show the world what we got against the team that we know we can beat. And they did. So you throw the tape out, for lack of a better term, and you move on. You didn't need to win that game. But Matt, as we look ahead to today, 3 p.m. Eastern, a huge showdown for Team Canada against Colombia. Noah Sciro is going to get the start.
Yeah, and I think you look at this pool C has gotten wild in a hurry. I mean, you look at Colombia beat Mexico and then Great Britain turning around after getting run ruled by Canada to beat Colombia. Who knows what's going to happen? And you have a guy like Noah Sciro, you know, upper minor level, minor league level starter. Hopefully can get, at least a few innings out of him. I mean, the two starters for games 1 and 2, they got a total of an inning. That's not a recipe for success, but they're definitely going to be looking for more from Sciro, and this is a must-win for Canada.
Yeah, and I think this is really where the lineup, time to get her going. I think this is a team in Colombia who you can definitely hit against, a team that you can definitely need to stack up some runs against. You know, I would expect it to be a pretty high-scoring game. I think it'll be probably similar to maybe the Great Britain game. I don't know if it'll be quite that much scoring. But I would imagine that the lineup will return to what it had against Great Britain, which was just, you know, patient at bats and just, look, you're going up against Lance Lynn, who's a tremendous talent last night. And, you know, in that crowd, in that environment, it can be very difficult down there at Chase Field. As you said, tonight, fresh slate against Team Colombia, a team that you know you can beat. And I think you take the same mentality that the U.S. took last night, right? Yeah. Which is like, we're a better team than Team Colombia, although there's certainly an argument there. But I think I like Canada's roster better than Colombia, although, of course, we are a little biased being on the Canadian Baseball Network podcast. But still, you know, and I think that's the mindset they take, both as a lineup and for Noah Sciro starting tonight. Look, we're better than this team. Let's dominate. Let's get ourselves a win. I think that would be the approach from Ernie Witt tonight.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he does with the lineup. He kept it primarily the same against the U.S. Obviously, Denzel Clark and for Owen Casey. That surprised me a little bit, I'm not going to lie, especially after the game that Casey had and with Lance Lynn, a right-hander on the mound. My guess would be Casey checks back in. But other than that, I think the lineup stays the same. I think it's working pretty well. I mean, you look at Toro had two hits last night. Young had the home run, the only run. Who else? O'Neill had a hit. Julian had another hit. So I think you keep it relatively the same. Don't overreact to one game.
No. And you're right. I think Owen Casey would probably draw back in. We'll see. But yes, a very important matchup tonight. Obviously, if they lose against Colombia, things are not looking too good for Canada's hopes to advance out of group play for the first time in World Baseball Classic history. So, we'll see what happens. This is a massive game for them tonight, a must win. Or today, I guess it's 3 p.m. Eastern time, 12 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. So whatever you are in the world, there's your time zones. A couple players to watch out for on Team Colombia, Gio Urshela, right? A guy, former Jay, actually, former Yankee as well. Jorge Alfaro, now with the Boston Red Sox, former Marlins. So there's a handful of major leaguers on this roster. Oscar Mercado is another guy. So this roster is not a pushover. It's definitely better than Great Britain. So it's going to be an interesting test tonight. I think today, I keep saying tonight, I think it's going to be actually a quite a good game and a very important one given the implications. It could get quite intense down there.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be the best game of the tournament so far. I mean, that Great Britain one was kind of ugly. This USA game was kind of ugly, but I'm not expecting that tonight. This is going to be kind of a back and forth, you know, best team's going to win it. You got to bring your A game to win this game. But 2-2 could get you in still with the way this pool's shaken out, but 3-1 does get you in. So that's what Canada's focused on.
Bring in their A game. We brought our A game this morning, Matt. This was fun. Anything else from you?
No, late night, early morning, and we're going to get ready to do it again 3 p.m. Eastern time.
Perfect. All right. See you then.
Yep. And thank you for listening, and we'll see you later on for the Columbia Canada recap.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to check out Canadian Baseball Network for extensive and comprehensive coverage of the latest in Canadian baseball. And The Baseball Zone, Canada's leading instructional baseball academy and training home to thousands of MLB pro, college, and youth baseball players.